Longhorn Confidential podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, Texas fans. This is the Longhorn Confidential for Thursday, February 27th. I'm Danny Davis, the Austin American Statesman. Mike Cravens to my left. Mike, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
All right, we're just going to keep continuing our position series that we've been doing throughout this month of February. Last week, we tackled running backs and linebackers. 2 weeks ago, we're all about the quarterbacks and defensive linemen. So if you want to read those, listen to those podcasts, look them up on hook'em.com. Today, it's all about wide receivers and the people that cover wide receivers.
The skills.
All right, Mike, we're going to start with wide receivers. Committed in this 2021 class, specify, we're talking about 2021 positions. Committed in this 2021 class is Denton Ryan's Billy Mobin, a four-star commit. You know, he's also kind of an athlete, so he could be defensive backs, but for this podcast, we're going to discuss him as a potential wide receiver in 2021. Also on the roster in 2021, assuming everyone stays, no one transfers, no one declares early, Brendan Eagles, he'd be a senior. Jake Smith and Marcus Washington, they'd be juniors. Jordan Whittington, Joshua Moore, Alvante Woodard, Kennedy Lewis, sophomores. This freshman class coming in, the 2020 class, Troy Omery, Calvante Dixon, DeJohn Harris, they're all signees. So those last three names are what I'm kind of interested. How would you rate this 2020 class, and does that impact how Texas goes in 2021? Do they need to go huge because the 2020 kids weren't good enough? Do they need to go small because they love those 2020 kids and they can focus on other areas in this 2021 class?
Yeah, I think wide receiver is one of the most important positions for Texas in the 2021 class because, like you mentioned, you know, Eagles is going to be a senior even if he's around. Jake Smith, Marcus Washington entering their junior year. Then after that, it's kind of guesswork. You know, we assume those guys are going to be good. They were highly recruited guys, but we hadn't really seen much of those other players on the roster, so they need an influx of talent in there. I think the 2020 class was a good one. Troy Omery, a really good outside receiver with a lot of upside. He's already on campus, so that'll give him, you know, a jump start. And then DeJohn Harrison, Calvante Dixon, more slot receivers that'll probably redshirt this year behind Jake Smith, Jordan Whittington, if all goes to plan. The problem for the 2021 class is, you know, the wide receiver group isn't as talented as maybe it has been in the last few years for Texas, so they're going to have to really fight and claw, maybe even go out of state to find the three or four guys that they want to add to this recruiting class, because if not, the 2022 class becomes really important for wide receivers. I feel so old when we talk about these stuff.
2022, I'm going to be getting ready for my 20-year high school reunion in 2023. So,
same.
Getting ancient over here. Let's circle back to Billy Mobin. We've mentioned him a few times on this podcast. I believe he's done some interviews that we've aired throughout the last couple of months. But what's the 411 on him? What do Texas fans kind of need to know about him? Is he someone who could contribute? Maybe not immediately, but you see him down the road being a guy that Texas fans are excited about and, you know, a guy who's making plays for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I mean, out of the six commitments Texas has right now, I consider him the second best. And his teammate, Jatavion Sanders, is the only one I have rated higher than him. Billy Bowman is incredible. He's awesome on punt and kick returns. He's a great slot wide receiver. He's also a really good safety. You know, I've talked to him a lot, you know, just because Denton Ryan's really good, so they play far in the playoffs. And then he was also in Orlando at the Under Armour 50 camp for the next group of kids. And, you know, one of the things talking to him kind of even when the recorder went off was kind of, he always has said, you know, Coach Herman's going to let me pick which side of the ball I want to be on. And I'll probably look at the roster and kind of see, you know, where my quickest way to the field is. But then he also always says, you know, have you seen me with the ball in my hands? You know, is this one of those where it's like, you can tell he knows he's a difference maker on offense, and those are hard to find. You know, Texas hasn't had, you know, true game breakers, you know, like you watch Alabama's offense and stuff have. They need those speed guys at the slot position, and Billy Bowman can be one of those, can score every time he touches the football type of players, so it's hard for me to imagine that gets switched to defense.
So I think that's kind of it for our discussion of receivers. Mike's been breaking down all these positions on hook'em.com. And he's already written about the receivers. So if you want to know more about that position group, head on over to the website and read all you want. Let's go to the opposite side of the football, cornerbacks. Texas doesn't have any commitments so far in this class, although, you know, like we said, Billy Bowman is an athlete. He could, I don't know if he's more projected as a corner or a safety.
Safety if he plays defense, yeah.
So no corners in this upcoming class. If they're all still around in 2021, this is where things kind of get interesting. Jalen Green will be a senior. Deshaun Jameson, he'll be a senior. Anthony Cook, Josh Thompson, Kobe Boyce, also seniors. Kenyatta Watson, Marquise Caldwell, they'd be sophomores in 2021. Texas signed Keaton Crawford, the All-American out of Tyler in East Texas. So he'll be coming to campus this year. Who are the names that Texas fans need to know as far as corners are concerned in this 2021 recruiting cycle?
You know, I think one that maybe we're forgetting because he's been committed to Alabama, but here in Austin at LBJ, you know, Latrell McCutcheon is the best cornerback in the state, and it would be very surprising to me if Texas doesn't get back in on that recruitment with Coach Vallow here and their relationship and just him being so close to Texas. He's likely to take some visits. So he's number one on the list. If they can flip a guy, he would be the one that they want to flip the most. Then up in Dallas, there's Ishmael Ibrahim, a really long guy, 6'1", lanky, kind of, you know, Jalen Green type looking player coming out of high school. They're really big on him. And then there's a couple corners out of state that they're going to have to look at. And then I think Katie Hunter Washington is another player that with an offer. But they're going to need this, like we talked about with wide receivers, you know, this cornerback class is important. You know, they only signed Keaton Crawford last year. In my opinion, Keaton's going to end up playing nickel or safety. He's not really an outside true cover corner. And so this class becomes really important. You know, Jalen Green has a huge, you know, year, so he may not be here as a senior, some of the way that cover corners are coveted. So the Longhorns really need a strong 2021 class at the cornerback position. And playing in the Big 12, you need as many good cornerbacks as you can find.
That's my question. The Big 12. This is a pass happy, offense happy league. Not to make this an SEC versus Big 12 thing, but you know, Joe Burrow goes and throws 5 touchdown passes in the game for LSU, and people want to say he reinvented football. Mm-hmm. And even though he was spectacular and was a deserving Heisman Trophy winner, you know, that LSU Texas game, Sam's stats were pretty comparable.
Right.
And that's just what the Big 12 is. There's going to be a lot of offense and a lot of touchdowns and a lot of cornerbacks looking bad because of those offensive numbers. So my question is, when you are recruiting cornerbacks, does the Big 12's perception hurt, especially with the out-of-state kids? Because, you know, if you're a Texas kid, chances are you grew up loving the Longhorn or Northern Longhorn, so maybe easier to convince those marquee cornerbacks to stay in the state. But if you're recruiting like that kid from Arizona this past year, mm-hmm. and he looks, would I rather go to Georgia where, you know, defense is a little bit more prevalent, or do I want to go, you know, to a Texas where people are going to score on me, that tape is going to be out there, and even a good cornerback like Chris Boyd is going to be made to look silly at times? Or do kids want that challenge and want also to have a chance to have tape of them making plays, because, you know, they're going to be able to have an opportunity to make plays as well?
Yeah, you know, I think it probably depends on the kid. You know, I remember that 2018 class that had Stearns and Foster and then all the cornerbacks that we just listed. You know, they talked about how they wanted to play in the Big 12, mm-hmm. because they got to play. It was almost like 7-on-7 football. They knew that they were going to be as important as the defensive ends and defensive tackles. And you got to remember, these top flight cornerbacks in high school never get to play. I mean, they're on the field, but nobody ever throws the ball their direction, you know, mm-hmm. or anything, because why would you if you're playing against Jalen Green at Houston Heights? Just leave him alone and go play 10-on-10 the other way. So I think there are guys that want to, you know, play in the Big 12 and you know, be involved and get that tape and play against, you know, the marquee matchups. But it comes back to winning. And right now in the Big 12, you know, nobody's winning national championships. Oklahoma has been embarrassed in the college football playoff. Texas has been average at best over these last 4 to 5 years. And then there's a huge drop-off after those two in terms of recruiting. So I think it really, if Oklahoma and Texas were competing for national championships, I think you'd see more of those elite cornerbacks stay in the Big 12. But right now, you know, it's as much a part about wanting to be on a winning program and in a winning situation as it is like the conference you play in, especially for defensive backs. So I think it really just comes down to turning the corner and winning a bunch of football games. And then you can sell that idea to those guys of, hey, you're going to get all the tape in the world. You know, you're going to be here. You're going to play against the best wide receivers, against NFL-type concepts, and you're going to have that all on film. So that will become a selling point, but just not for a 7-5 football team.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about safeties. As you said, no commits there unless you want to count Billy Bowman among those commits. On the roster in 2021, Caden Stearns and B.J. Foster will be seniors. I don't know if I'd be holding my breath that either of those two will be around, because they are both very talented young gentlemen. Chris Adamora, Tyler Owens, Montrell Stell will be juniors. Xavier Alford and Jaron Thompson were in this last recruiting class. Mike, what do we need to know about Xavier and Jaron? I know you've talked highly on Xavier in the past. Are these guys that are going to immediately, you know, jump in there? And then also, who do we kind of need to know on the safety scene when it comes to recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to find a person higher on Texas' safety class in 2020 than I am, probably. You know, Xavier Alford missed most of his senior year with a knee injury, and so some of his hype was backed up. But going into the summer before his senior year, this kid was wanted by Alabama, all the big schools, was really good at the opening. May not be, you know, the best at one thing, but he's just an incredible, versatile football player who's already on campus. And with the injuries we saw last year in Texas secondary, you know, you just can't take some of those things for granted. So will he be in line to play? Probably not, you know, with how well Adamora and Owens played behind Stearns and Foster last year. But, you know, Foster had major surgery. You know, Stearns has been injured before. If any of those guys go down, he's already on campus and he should be in line to compete with the Chris Browns and those kind of guys.
And last year, going off that, I mean, Chris Adamora and Tyler Owens played well. No one thought they were going to play.
Right.
Playing.
Yeah.
When August camp came, but all those injuries piled up, and that, you know, gave, you know, a lot of opportunity. Not saying that we're predicting injuries for this upcoming season, but a lot of stuff happens in a game like football where,
yeah, football,
you know, injuries can pile up.
Football's brutal. We know Texas likes to have physical practices, and so just the idea of being able to play, you know, 12 full games is unlikely for a lot of guys. You're going to get banged up. And so, you know, these high level recruits come to play. You know, they understand the pecking order, and of course Xavier Alford knows that, you know, Stearns, Foster, those guys are considered the starters, but he's going to come in here and compete with that next group of guys to get onto the two deep. And then I love Jaron Thompson from Lufkin. You know, he East Texas kid. They went out early in the playoffs, so maybe didn't get the run that he should have. But he's just a physical dude. I think he's somebody that Texas fans are really going to like. He's definitely going to contribute on special teams early on. And it really makes this 2021 class at safety not as important. We talked about how important cornerback is when we looked at the roster. But when you look at the roster at safety, you know, you got a lot of young guys, you know, with Adamora and Owens playing so well, I think they feel good about the safety spot with Alford and Thompson. So they're going to be able to cherry pick. J.D. Coffey from Kennedale is probably the best safety in the state in 2021. But they may go low on that class, kind of how they did corners last year, may sign one or two guys and then really load up on the 2022 class, you know, as Adamora, Owens are getting older, and same with Alford and Thompson.
You know, cornerback and safety are different skill sets. You have to do mm-hmm. different things. But I'm curious, you know, and overall in recruiting, are coaches recruiting cornerbacks and safeties, or are they recruiting defensive backs? And we'll figure it out once you get here. Are they one and the same, or are they two completely different things, and you got to approach it on the recruiting trail like two completely different things?
I believe that they're two completely different things. Now, if you can find somebody who can do all of those things, you found a 4-star, 5-star guy that you try to get on campus right away. You know, I think that's what makes Keaton Crawford and Xavier Alford such, you know, solid prospects, is they can play safety, they can play nickel, they could even play a little bit of corner. But for the most part, with how much training is going on and 7-on-7 and the specialization of not even just sports but positions, you know, some of these guys have been learning cornerback since they were kids. Some of them are playing safety. Then there's size and speed, you know, different attributes that go into both positions. So I think each cornerback coach has, you know, their 3 or 4 guys. Each safety coach has their 3 or 4 guys. But there are those special players that can play both. And then there's those guys who may play cornerback in high school, but you know that's not going to translate to college. Mm-hmm. So they're getting recruited as safeties. But I think when you get on campus nowadays with so much tape, so many camps, so much training, you kind of know what your future position is going to be by the time you reach college.
Like I said, Mike's been kind of breaking this stuff on Hook'em.com for the past 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
So if you want more on cornerbacks and safeties, head on over there, read all of his words, and probably a lot more, a lot better discussion just listening to Mike than having me stumble over my questions. But
over the years,
yeah. Let's debut a new segment here on the Longhorn Confidential podcast. Little background. My favorite producer is my wife, and she always has feedback for me. And one piece of feedback she has had is Mike travels a lot for work. You know, he's all over the place. And one thing we know about sports writers is they like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike must know of good places to eat in all these places he travels. He must know the spots. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the sports writing community is very tight knit, and you know, mm-hmm. there's guys like our guy Matt Step up in Dallas for Dave Campbell's. You know, he has his, you know, places to go whenever you go to different cities. And you know, if you're going down south, I mean, you can hit up any of those writers for suggestions. And you know, if someone comes to Austin, you know, people are always buzzing our phones asking where to eat. So you know, my wife was like, you guys should have a segment where Mike just kind of lists his favorite places to eat. She even came up with a name for it, Craven's Cravings.
Oh, okay.
And she's been a big fan, and she's been saying you guys should do it. I've been holding off, but I think it's time to.
What's funny is
debut Craven's Cravings.
When I was younger, people would be like, "What are you craving, Craven?" You know, like that was kind of the.
So it's just like bring back some flashbacks, just like childhood bullying or something.
I think I was the bully most of the times, but. Yeah, Houston, very dear to my heart.
We're starting in Houston today because the baseball team is playing down there at Minute Maid Park this weekend in a series. So I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to take one of Mike's suggestions. Any baseball fans making that trip, you know, I'm just going to let Mike take it away and tell us some good places to eat in Houston.
So I was born in Austin, but I moved to Houston. I lived there between the ages of 4 and 13. So Houston is near and dear to my heart. I consider myself a Houstonian. We are also poor. So when I start talking about my Houston food recommendations, you know, you gotta take that into account. So I'm a huge fan of Timmy Chan's.
So we're not getting like a $100 steakhouse.
No, I don't know any of those. Kind of places you can just Google steakhouses. But Timmy Chan's is one of the like well known Asian places there, and you can get like fried shrimp for like $8, and they don't even give it to you in plates. They give it to you on a to-go container, and they just fill the whole thing up. So you, even if you eat there, you just box your stuff up and walk out. It's fantastic. Frenchie's Chicken is my all-time favorite. I've tried to talk to them about franchising one in Austin, actually. I love Frenchie's Chicken. That is the best fried chicken in Houston. And then if you want to go fancy, I guess every Houstonian is going to have the same answer, and it's really funny, but Papa Do's is better in Houston. I swear to you. Like, Papa Do's, there is not a place that is busier on a more consistent basis in Houston than Papa Do's. It's our version of Chewy's, where if you go find a Chewy's in another city, yeah, it's a normal restaurant with a normal wait, you know, at peak hours, but you can walk in there and eat at Chewy's. But in Austin, it's on wait at all times. Like, people in Austin just love Chewy's. That's Papa Do's in Houston. Like, Papa Do's in Houston is the place to be. I think it's because Pimp C put it in a song. But those were. And then if you want barbecue, I got to shout out Pinkerton's. Grant Pinkerton, Texas alum. I think he's been on the Forbes 30 for 30 list. Like, he's doing it big. They're putting one in San Antonio pretty soon. But Pinkerton's, which is right downtown in the Spanish Flowers area, is really good. And then I'm trying to think of the Mexican restaurant that I eat there. I think it's called Spanish Flowers. I think that's what it's called. It's in the Heights District. I think it's called Spanish Flowers. But that is fantastic Mexican food.
I actually got to try Pinkerton's for the first time a couple weekends ago when Texas was playing Rice. Our friend Dustin McComas took me there, and it was quite delicious. It was worth all the hype that I had been hearing about it from Texas fans, because the owner is a huge Texas fan, so you hear a lot about about that place. And I, you know, two other.
It is Spanish Flowers, by the way. Okay.
Two other points. We need to get Cedric Golden in here for a Papado's discussion with you, because that's a. I think Papado's is literally on his speed dial. I need you to tell a story, because, you know, what people don't understand about you know, our jobs is a lot of the times when you go to stadiums that are not, you know, your rinky-dink high school stadiums, even at some of these rinky-dink high school stadiums, you know, they try to secure it like it's Fort Knox, and your bags have to be checked. You know, you aren't allowed to bring in outside food. You aren't allowed to, you know, bring in outside drinks, whatever. Somehow, a couple years ago, and I was not here, but I've heard this story. Somehow, you managed to get Frenchie's chicken into the state championship games, which were being held at NRG Stadium. And I'm just kind of curious how y'all pulled off that feat, because that was pretty impressive. And that's stuff legends are made out of.
Okay, so that we have to shout out our boy Matt Stepp, because Matt Stepp had a buddy in Houston who was willing to pick up Frenchies and deliver it to NRG for us. This was kind of like right on the verge of Uber Eats. You know, this like it wasn't like as easy to order stuff. So one of his buddies brought us up Frenchie's chicken, and so we went down to. It happened to be a dude who was doing the gates and checking the bags at the media entrance at NRG. And I will say this, NRG is a little bit more laid back than AT&T at the state championship games. Mm-hmm. It's high school, you know, like whatever. So I just asked the guy, hey, if I get you a campus, which at Frenchie's is a three-piece mixed meal with two sides, if I get you a campus, can I bring up the other things? Yeah, you get me some Frenchies that you can walk on by there. So we got him a three-piece from Frenchies as well. So he ate his Frenchies, and we took our bags upstairs and really pissed off the people who aren't our friends because they charge for food at the state championship games, even to media and stuff. And so
you guys had a lot of people like trying to become friends, okay, or be able to talk to.
Yeah, because everybody talks to Step. But, you know, I keep headphones in my ear. I'm pretty notoriously unsocial. I all of a sudden had a lot of people who, like, knew me who had never known me before that. But what really got us in trouble was, like, once the people up in the press box started smelling the chicken, you know, like, even, like, the people up there just monitoring us are like, what is that smell? You have to, like, eat that somewhere else. So we had to, like, eat it kind of behind the press box area. But, yeah, it was delicious, and it definitely beat the hot dogs, because for state championship games, you know, especially when I worked at Dave Campbell's, which was then, you know, you got there Wednesday night and you didn't leave until Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's back then it was the four games on Thursday, three games Friday, three games Saturday thing. So we'd set up Wednesday night all the video stuff because the first game started at 10 a.m. on a Thursday. So I think it was a Thursday when it wasn't as crowded. And we had already watched two football games, and it was only 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know? And so we had to figure out something, and yeah, Frenchie's chicken hit the spot. That is probably one of my most notorious press box achievements in my life.
Yeah, I remember that. It's normally in Jerry World, but I guess that was 2015.
Yeah, that was my last, yeah.
Texas sent the Central Texas area sent Westlake, Cedar Park, and Lake Travis to state, and they all played on that Saturday in back-to-back games, and so I had to be there for all three, and I wanted to murder every single person in that press box by the end of the day, and that was just one day. So I can imagine what you guys, the guys from the Chronicle who were covering every game, had been there for 10 games over 4 days. I had to imagine that there was some those were some long days.
You have to change seats. I don't get how some of those dudes sit in there. They'll get in the same seat. They'll be there all day. You know, it's like I have to move around. It feels like isolation. But to me, it's, you know, one of the things, like, how can you complain about covering 10 games over 3 days? It's like if I just got to watch them, it'd be great. It's writing about them that becomes hard because they start blending together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, man, was that great throw and catch? Like, was that earlier today? Was that today? Was that yesterday? Like, you know, it's really weird how that works. So I love it because it's like a high school reunion and you get stories like, you know, getting Frenchie's chicken into the deal. Like nowadays we have like a suite up in AT&T where we kind of disappear into. That's like a hidden location. But you definitely are ready for football season to be over as that 6A
last game ends on Saturday.
Yeah, as all the 6A people are coming in all excited for the guys in the box are like, all right, we need this this to be a good, quick game and everyone can go home. I think Craven's Cravens. I think that was a success. I think that was a good debut.
Yeah, it kind of caught me off guard there. My final answer is Frenchie's Chicken, Pinkerton's Barbecue, or Spanish Flowers for Mexican food.
All right. We'll be back with another Craven's Cravens at some point. I don't know if this is going to be an every week thing, but you know, there's lots of cities to check off. You know, we can even talk about some of the press boxes that we've been to, both college and high school, because there are some good high school press boxes, and there's some where if you ask for water, they may kick you out and tell you to go sit in the stands. So shout out to House Park and all Austin.
That's even
facilities.
If you get a seat behind the administration that doesn't want to be cold.
Anyway, all right, that's going to be it for today's Longhorn Confidential. As we've alluded to a couple times, Mike writes his dotted line column throughout the week on hook'em.com. So check that out for all your recruiting goodness. What are you writing about this week?
Right now we're talking about kind of which positions are the most important for Texas in the 2021 class, offensively and defensively. And then, hallelujah, camp season starts in March, and it'll actually get fun again. Because I enjoy just watching kids, even in shorts and t-shirts, do football things. So we'll have interviews and more content once March comes around. February is a dead period. Coaches don't talk to players. Players don't talk to coaches. It's kind of a built-in vacation for everyone, you know, except for me. And so, March will get a little bit more exciting.
All right. Well, yeah. Shout out to the camp season. Shout out to all you listening out there. Shout out to my lovely wife,
our producer.
Yep, our newest producer. Hopefully, we're paying her something so I can go on a nice vacation this summer. Don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Store and the Google Podcast app. We sure do appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in each week. The Longhorn Confidential podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today, or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. See you later.
Peace.